It feels funny to try to pass the peace of Christ like that. But I do so enjoy us being live and being able to interact in this way, and also when we interact at the end of worship through our virtual coffee hour. Again, thank you for joining us. Please pray with me. Oh God, at other times and in other places, you have helped the blind to see and the lame to walk. You have freed those bound by sin and fear, and even raised the dead. By the power of your word and spirit, deliver us today from all that blinds us, from all the sins that cripple us, from all the fears that paralyze us, from all that prevents your spirit from living in us. Raise us up once again to be your faithful, loving, courageous disciples. Amen. I am ashamed to admit this, but I'm having a somewhat difficult time enduring this pandemic. I am ashamed because I have little to no reason to complain. I haven't caught the virus. No one I am close to has caught the virus. Since I'm retired, my income has not been affected. I also am blessed to have been able to quarantine while so many others are working and exposing themselves to enable me to be safe. And to top it off, this quarantine has given me some extra time to accomplish some tasks I have long put off, and to reach out to family and friends I've neglected. I'm grateful, very grateful for all these unearned blessings, and yet I am still struggling to endure. To endure the unimaginable sadness over 180,000 COVID-19 related deaths in America, and more than 840,000 deaths worldwide. I'm struggling to endure not knowing when and how this pandemic is going to end. To endure my own life, not being faithful and useful in ways that I have been in the past. To endure not being able to be physically present, to touch, to sing, to have a meal together with friends and colleagues. Yes, Zoom worship, Skype meetings, Zoom Bible study, FaceTime happy hours all work, but as you all know, it's not the same. And most of all, I'm struggling to endure not being able to be with my family in Philadelphia as I have in the past. Some mornings I wake up very lethargic with a bad case of the pandemic blues. Other days I wake up and it's Groundhog Day all over again. Now, you may not be struggling with this pandemic the way I am, but I imagine you are, or have in the past, struggled to endure something. An illness. An unhappy relationship. A failure. The death of a loved one, the loss of a job, a temptation, a period of depression or loneliness, a time when you feel lost and have no idea what to do next. On Pentecost Sunday, during her charge and benediction, Carla said to us, don't you get weary. Don't you get weary. Well, right now, I need to know how, and I imagine you do as well, how not to get weary. How to endure. Now, it turns out that the Bible has a lot to say about endurance. First of all, it gives us some great examples of people who have endured in the past. The Israelites enduring 450 years of slavery in Egypt. Moses enduring 40 years of leading a complaining, stubborn, doubting, ungrateful group of his own people to freedom in the promised land. Job enduring the tragic, undeserved loss of family, health, and wealth. Ruth enduring the death of her husband and adapting to a new life, culture, and faith with her mother-in-law, Naomi. Mary, an unmarried, unprepared teenager, enduring the surprise and shame of an unexpected pregnancy. Paul enduring hunger, slander, riots, beatings, imprisonment, and shipwreck to tell the Mediterranean world about Jesus Christ. And most of all, Jesus himself enduring misunderstandings, lies, conflicts, rejections, betrayals, desertion, humiliation, beating, and crucifixion. To love, teach, and redeem you and me. Scripture also has a host of verses urging you and me to endure. However, the verses of Scripture that encourage me the most are not the ones urging me to endure, but rather the ones reminding me of God's faithful, steadfast endurance. Some form of the phrase, God's steadfast love, appears 120 times just in the book of Psalms. Listen again to four of these verses that we've already heard in today's call to worship. And we need back on the screen the slides of the scripture reading, and right there they are. The psalmist sings, I will sing of your might. I will sing aloud of your steadfast love in the morning. For you have been a fortress for me and a refuge in the day of my distress. For you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. When I thought my foot is slipping, your steadfast love, O Lord, lifted me up. O Israel, hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with the Lord is great power to redeem. We hit the mother lode when we come to Psalm 136. In its 26 verses, this psalm repeats the phrase, God's steadfast love endures forever, 26 times. Listen again for God's word to us as I read 12 of these verses. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of gods, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords, who alone does great wonders, for his steadfast love endures forever, who by understanding made the heavens, for his steadfast love endures forever, who made the sun to rule over the day, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who made the moon and the stars to rule over the night, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who brought Israel out of Egypt, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who divided the Red Sea into two, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who led his people through the wilderness, for his steadfast love endures forever. And gave them the promised land as their heritage, for his steadfast love endures forever. It is God who remembered us in our low estate, for his steadfast love endures forever, and rescued us from our foes, for his steadfast love endures forever. Who gives food to all flesh, for his steadfast love endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his steadfast love endures forever. Now that's endurance. That's a witness and a promise that can ignite and re-energize our own endurance, whatever difficulties we are facing. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now I know that was a long introduction to the scripture reading. And some of you may be thinking, well, that's enough. And certainly, those scriptures by themselves are enough to inspire us. But I still have some words to say about those scriptures. But I promise you, my sermon won't be any longer than that introduction. In his online masterclass, Bob Woodward, who made his reputation reporting on the Watergate break-in, tells how he became a journalist. After completing college and serving for 4 years in the Navy, Woodward was unsure what he wanted to do with the rest of his life. After investigating several possibilities, he decided to interview for a job at the Washington Post. The interviewer sees some potential in him, so he gives him a 2-week trial. During those 2 weeks, Woodward writes 12 stories, none of which are published. At the end of this trial period, the editor tells Woodward that it is obvious that he doesn't know what he's doing, and the paper no longer needs his services. In the midst of his disappointment, all Woodward can think to say is, thank you. The editor is curious enough about this response to ask, why did you say thank you? I've just told you, you failed. I've loved these last 2 weeks, Woodward replies, and I now know what I want to do with the rest of my life. The editor's impressed. Not enough to hire him, but enough to recommend him for a reporter's job at a local newspaper in the Virginia suburbs. Woodward endures his failure, learns from it, and goes on to become one of the premier journalists of his generation. It takes Thomas Edison over 750 failed experiments to invent the electric light bulb. He finally succeeds because he endures. When I was in grade school, I suffered through 2 years of piano lessons. Today, I've forgotten almost everything I learned. I can't play the piano, not even chopsticks. I no longer can read music. About the only thing I do remember is my teacher's insistence that I practice over and over and over again the last few measures of every piece of music. Her philosophy was, it's how you finish that counts. You can make a mistake in the beginning or even in the middle, but if you endure to the end and make a grand and glorious finish, everybody will forget those mistakes. Do you know who Demas is in the Bible? He is a friend and fellow missionary with the Apostle Paul. Demas is mentioned 3 times in the New Testament. The reason so few of us know anything about Demas is because he quits. Listen to what Paul writes. Demas, in love with this present world, has deserted me and gone to Thessalonica. Right now in America, a lot of us are still upset and angry over the murders of George Floyd, Ahmaud Arbery, and Breonna Taylor. The shooting of Jacob Blake in Wisconsin this week brings even more sadness and distress to us. These tragic events have opened the eyes and hearts of many of us to even more long-standing injustices and inequities. However, I'm worried that time will begin to dissipate our sense of urgency, our willingness to do the hard, wearing work to make the long needed reforms and changes. I'm worried that many of us, myself included, will turn out like Demas. Cheryl Lynn Eiffel, the president of the NAACP Legal Defense Fund, in a June interview on 60 Minutes, was asked, what gives you hope in the midst of this ongoing racial crisis? Without hesitation, she replied, I do not know of any account in African American history which ends and they gave up. I do not know of any account in African American history which ends and they gave up. I hope and pray that this can be said of all of us Americans at this crucial turning point in our history. So, how can you and I resist the temptation to be like Demas and quit? How can we strengthen our endurance during these difficult times? Where can we find the hope to finish strong? I think we can find the power to resist quitting, the strength to endure, the hope to finish strong, if we trust this powerful, repeated promise. God's steadfast love endures forever. God's steadfast love endures forever. When I was 7 and 8 years old, one of my favorite places to play was in and around a little stream within biking distance of my house. I used to wade in it, sink tin cans in it, float paper boats on it. What I enjoyed doing the most is building dams across it. For a while, I was a regular Corps of Engineers. However, no matter how well or how large I built my dam, I never succeeded in preventing that stream from flowing on. I could hold the water back for a while. I could divert it or delay it momentarily, but I could never stop it. God's love is just like that stream. It's steadfast. It never quits flowing. Evil, selfish forces in our world and in you and me can sometimes divert or delay it. But we can never stop God's love and purposes. In the end, nothing can defeat or separate us and the flow of history from God's steadfast love. And knowing this can enable you and me to endure. Someone once asked Billy Graham how he could continue to be so hopeful when the world was in such a terrible mess. Billy replied, "I've read the last few chapters of the book, and I know how it's all going to end. It's all going to end in a new heaven and a new earth, where God will wipe every tear from our eyes, and pain and suffering and death will be no more. A new heaven and a new earth is our history's destiny. This is where you and I are headed. Trusting in this destiny, knowing how it's all going to end, enables you and me to endure to the end. On Fifth Avenue in New York City, in front of Rockefeller Center, there is a famous landmark that is obvious to everybody who passes by. It's a huge statue of Atlas, straining and struggling to carry the world on his shoulders. Right across the street, behind the altar of St. Patrick's Cathedral, is another statue that's not so obvious. It's the statue of Jesus as a boy, 8 or 9 years old, holding our world in just one hand. I think much of the time, many of us feel like Atlas, when what is true is our world, your life and mine, are in Christ's hands. We do not have to carry everything around on our shoulders. We do not have to buy into this illusion that everything depends upon us. Now, certainly, with God's help, you and I need to do our part. But ultimately, our world, our lives are in God's steadfast, loving hands. And knowing this enables you and me to endure with hope. How did Moses and the prophets endure to the end? They knew, they trusted in their hearts that God, whose steadfast love endures forever, was with them to the end. How did Ruth and Mary, in spite of their uncertain futures, follow God's leading to the end? They knew, they trusted in their hearts this promise from the 23rd Psalm, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me." How was Jesus able to pray from his cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do"? How was Paul able to write from his prison cell, "We are more than conquerors through him who loved us"? They both knew, they trusted in their hearts that nothing, neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, nor anything else in all of creation, would be able to separate them from God's steadfast love. How were Billy Graham and Cheryl Lynn Ifill able to hope in spite of all the signs of hopelessness around them? They knew, they trusted in their hearts that love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. How was John Lewis able to love America when America did not love him back? How was he able to respond to acts of hate and cruelty with love and courage? John Lewis knew, he trusted in his heart, that God's steadfast love endures forever, not just for him, but for his enemies. And you and I are going to endure. We are going to hold on to the end, because we know, we trust in our hearts, that God, whose steadfast love endures forever, holds on to us to the end and beyond. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Lord, we admit it. Sometimes our troubles and difficulties make us forget and doubt. Frequently, we forget that we don't have to shoulder all of our fears and difficulties by ourselves. Often we doubt that our lives are worth living, have a grand purpose, and are headed toward a glorious end. When we forget this, tug on our sleeves, when we doubt this, surprise us with your Spirit. Remind us that you are with us right now and always will be. Remind us that you have never, ever given up on us, no matter what. Give us your Spirit, that we too may endure with steadfast love for you and for one another to the end. Amen. In response to this good news, please listen with me as Crystal Charles sings, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hand."